Accessibility.
Disability.
Mental health.
ADHD and ADD.
And many, many more topics we explore and cover.
But where?
On CITR's All Access Pass.
A unique and collectively run show on equity, inclusion, and creating awareness for people of all abilities in BC and around the world.
Catch us every other Wednesday afternoon from 3 to 4.
If you want more info or want to get involved, please find us on Facebook or send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Hello, everyone. My name is Bibi, and you're listening to Season 6 All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. I hope everyone is well. From my home and on Zoom, I am joined by my Accessibility Collective teammates. And who are they? You will hear some familiar and new voices. So shall we get to know them?
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm Nicole and I'm here at UBC as a mentor in the Interprofessional Health Mentor Program to future healthcare students, where I share experiences as a person with a disability as well as a nurse. So why am I here on the All Access Pass? So it sort of just kind of fell on my lap. I was interviewed as a guest and then I found out that this place was a really great environment to try something new. And yes, as a person with a hearing loss, radio can be quite daunting, but I felt that it was a great place to step outside my comfort zone and learn about other disabilities as much as I can as a fellow nurse. So here on the All Access Pass, I hope that we can learn about all the communities, about better patient care, the healthcare system, and I'm excited for this season. I hope you are too.
Hello, everybody. My name is Elena, and I'm a first-year international student from Brazil majoring in Media Studies. I heard about the Accessibility Collective through my creative writing professor, and I thought it would be an interesting opportunity to join. I look forward to get to know members from the community and learn more about the disabilities and how they overcome them. One of my hidden talents is producing music. I just learned it, how to do it, so I'm really into it right now. Yeah. Thank you for the attention, and I look forward to hearing from everybody.
Hi, everyone. I hope your week is going well. My name is Sarah, and I've been with the Disability Collective for on and off about 3 years now, so I know Nicole and DP quite well, and I'm really stoked to be part of the Disability Collective again this year. I am at UBC. I'm a graduate student working in autism. I try and use, like, genetics of people with autism to create a better and earlier diagnosis so that they can be treated more efficiently. And my favorite parts of the show are always how kind the people in the collective are and how different their perspectives are. And usually there's a lot of humor and laughs as well. I learn a lot every year. Plus, it's usually in a radio station, and I really like being in the radio station.
Hi everyone, my name is Avery Granger. I'm from Alberta, and I actually graduated high school in 2019, but I took a gap year where I lived in Paris, so I've just gotten back this summer, and I'm in my first year at UBC. I'm in the Bachelor of Arts program. I'm taking the CAP Media Studies stream, which I'm really loving so far. I decided to join the Accessibility Collective because my creative writing teacher sent out an email and I thought it would be a great opportunity and a way to get involved with the school. One of my hidden talents is I'm actually a competitive dancer. I've been dancing various styles since I was 3 and I'm starting to teach at my local studio. So yeah, that's a bit about me. Hopefully I can be in person coming up here, but I'm looking forward to listening to the audio.
Hi everyone, I'm Lakshanya, and I'm a first year in the Bachelor of Media Studies program. I decided to join the Accessibility Collective just because I found their show through CITR through my creative writing professor, and I thought it was really interesting, and I kind of want to learn more about the disabled community and accessibility and kind of educate myself and contribute to that conversation. And One of my hidden talents, I guess, is that I can play 4 different instruments.
I'm Randy Millis from the Okanagan Valley, and I'm currently coming to you from the West Bank First Nations lands. I'm a shelter support worker in Kelowna for a nonprofit, and I'm working with some of the most vulnerable people in our community, providing assistance to them and advocating for them where I can. I'm pleased to be a part of the Accessibility Collective and All Access Pass here on CITR Vancouver.
I'm Shelley DeCoste here in the Okanagan Valley. I'm excited to have this opportunity to work with the Disability Collective and All Access Pass on CITR Vancouver. I live with cerebral palsy, but I am thrilled and gifted that my condition has taught me to be more compassionate person and has challenged me to do more in my life. I am happy to be involved with this project and for an opportunity to be on the air and connect with so many wonderful, diverse people. I am hoping with my partners to bring you more important information about people living with diverse abilities.
Hey everyone, I'm the newest addition to the Accessibility Collective. My name is Lakshmi. Those of you who tuned into Intersections last year, which was CITR's Intersectional Feminist Collective, might recognize me as the host and producer of the show back then. I graduated from UBC last year with a master's in journalism. While I never had the chance to directly collaborate with DP during my time at CITR, I always really admired her and her work on the show. So as soon as I found out that the Accessibility Collective was looking for volunteers, I was super stoked to join and kind of rekindle my love for radio production. I'm really looking forward to learning everything I can about the complexities and the systemic issues that exist in and for the accessibility community, especially now during this crazy worldwide pandemic. And I hope listeners stay tuned. We have a lot of cool content coming up for you guys.
Hi, everyone. My name is Aman. I am a third-year student at UBC majoring in film studies with a minor in anthropology. I got to know about the Accessibility Collective through my creative writing class and thought it would be a cool and interesting experience to be part of the team. I had heard about CITR in my earlier years at UBC, but never knew that students could join in and participate with such an amazing initiative. So I'm looking forward to learning some new skills and getting to know my peers, as well as creating awareness about topics of disability.
Hi, I'm Jesse, and I'm from Vancouver. I'm a third-year bio major, and I heard about the collective through my creative writing class. I was interested in joining just to generally learn more about the community and to hear about personal experiences shared by its members. I look forward to participating in All Access this season.
Hello, everyone. My name is Stephanie Okoli. I'm in my second year of UBC, and I'm currently deciding my major. Right now, I'm in general arts, but hopefully I could get into the creative writing program, film studies, or the film production program. I decided to join the accessibility program because I think it's a great opportunity to join a club dedicated to giving a voice to people with disabilities. I can't wait to engage with all of you this season.
Hi, everyone. My name is Arthi. I'm a first-year Master of Journalism student at UBC. I actually did my undergrad at UBC too, so I've always wanted to join CITR, but never really got around to it. I decided to join the collective this year because I think it could be a great opportunity to discuss and learn more about disabilities and accessibility from experienced individuals, and also a great place to pick up some new skills. I look forward to an exciting season ahead.
Hi, my name is Christy, and I'm in my third year at UBC studying sociology. And I joined the Accessibility Collective because not only do I want to spread awareness about the topic of equity, inclusion, and accessibility for people with diverse abilities, but I also think this would be a really great learning experience for me as well. And I'm really excited to be part of this collective and have a lot of insightful conversations.
Hello, my name is Anna, and I'm a third year social work student, and I'm also autistic, which can sound a bit paradoxical, but I enjoy being peculiar. As a future social worker and a person with disability, I hope to promote acceptance and inclusion of people with disabilities in our society. As for this experience, I hope to learn more about other people with disability and their lives. I'm also into storytelling as part of social work practice because stories can convey the richness of people's lived experiences, and that is so important for everyone in human services field. So CTR seems like a natural place for me to be at, and I'm really glad to be here.
And again, my name is Deepi. I have a rare disability called metatropic dwarfism, a disability that mainly has issues with my bones and health as I grow older. I've been a part of the Accessibility Collective since it began in November of 2015 as the producer, host, and now as the coordinator for the third time. Prior to that, I have been with CITR for 8+ years and was known as the community member with the station because I was not a DBC student and I had no idea how the radio world worked. So I totally understand what some of my new teammates on this Accessibility Collective are feeling. You'll get through this as I did. And at the time, my goal was to bring awareness on accessibility and animal rights through the platform. I think I've done that, especially when it comes to understanding the accessibility and disability issues. And that's all about me. Thanks everyone for the introduction. I am super excited to work with all of you, and you guys are gonna rock this season. Now we're going to have a group discussion on the pandemic and how it has affected all of us and everyone around us. So one by one, we're gonna be answering these questions. Ready, group?
We're ready.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Yep.
Okay. So mentally and physically, how have you guys coped with the COVID-19 quarantine by staying home? Anna, we'll start with you.
I actually cope pretty well. I'm pretty introverted in general, so for me it was okay from that perspective. But like after month 6, I'm starting to just crave human contact. Yes, and it's definitely happening. And from the physical side of things, I definitely have to start exercising more and going out because that definitely has been a problem since the pandemic started.
Let's start with you next.
Anna, I think that's really interesting that you were able to hang on for 6 months. I think I kind of broke after the first month and a half, probably. In terms of coping, I can't downplay how difficult this entire kind of COVID pandemic situation has been. In terms of kind of physically coping with it, you know, we're very lucky to live in a country where we're still allowed to go out for walks. You know, we're not actually, it's not a strict lockdown like it was for New Zealand. I've been making sure I'm like going out a lot for walks or runs, and you know, I try to meditate more. I'm trying to do more activities that will kind of get my mind off kind of panicking about, you know, whether this situation will ever end, if, you know, COVID will ever fully go away. So yeah, just like obsessively baking, reading, meditating, and just trying to keep physically active. That's what I've been doing. So, I mean, it's keeping my head above the water so far. So that's good.
Arthi, how about you?
So I 100% relate to Anna. I'm a bit of a homebody, so really it wasn't much of a change for me staying home all the time. But I think around like June, July, I kind of went crazy a little bit. But thankfully, there's a lot of websites online where you can play games like Ludo or Secret Dictator. So a lot of my friends and I, we started playing together online remotely, and that really started to keep me sane there.
cool, very cool. Jesse, how about you?
I think, like, for me, I guess I consider myself more of an extrovert, but it's still, like, I still, like, didn't get hit really by, like, how everything was going on until, yeah, like, around 6 months in, like, others have been saying. And I've been, like, doing some writing and, like, yeah, playing games, like, just Among Us and Scriblio with friends online. But yeah, everything just, it's just happening so much, and it's, yeah, it's been difficult, but we can't really do much, which sucks, yeah. But yeah, it's the way it is.
How about you, Christy?
Yeah, similar to Anna and like RT, I would consider myself as an introvert, so I really did enjoy some time to myself. And during the pandemic, like at the very start, that's when I started doing meditation, and I've been really consistent since then. So I really found that helped me ground myself, and also physically coping. I guess I'm really lucky to live nearby, like a big park. So I would go out into nature, and just it'll be so still, and it would help me like with everything chaotic going around in the world. So yeah.
And Stephanie, how about you?
Oh, at first it was kind of cool because I was a homebody, so I really didn't do anything. But after the months went by, I started going kind of crazy, and I just started buying stuff on Amazon, even though I know I'm broke. And then I went and bought like a Nintendo Switch, and I was just like playing video games and just doing crazy stuff because there's nothing else to do, really.
Okay, and Amin, are there anything that you like to add?
Yeah, just definitely want to agree with what everybody else has been saying. Just finding like different things to do, like definitely been learning a lot of new skills, and just like going out in nature, just trying to like stay as sane as possible. So, and also I think, like, on the bright side of all of this, I used to live on campus at UBC, so I was a little bit like further away from my parents. I would come home on the weekends, but I would never really see them that much. So just trying to stay positive with the situation, just spending time with friends and family, and just checking up on everybody has been definitely a very helpful coping mechanism.
Yeah, I agree with everyone. Like, at first I thought, you know, this is kind of cool. And I didn't really, like, realize it was going to be this long. And, you know, for the couple of weeks, like, when it happened, I was like, okay, I can deal with it. But as things got on and on, you know, months went ahead, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is, like, difficult. What do I do with the time? I have so much time. And it was hard to get motivated. And I don't know if you guys have this problem or not, but now I'm actually really doing fine. You know, I do a lot of things that I love to do, like making radio with all of you. And I did that over the summer. I've been, like Lakshmi, been baking a lot of things, which I love to do as well, doing some writing. But, you know, how have you guys kind of motivate yourselves that you know, you need to kind of make things as normal as possible. So, Jesse, let's start with you.
Oh, in terms of motivation, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it's just kind of like, that's pretty difficult to answer. Like, I think I'm still looking for that motivation, but it's like, I guess every day just kind of blends into the next, and it's like, things are okay, but like I crave like the bit of like social contact through like the internet, I guess, that like I still have with my friends. And I think it's like everyone seems to like be able to motivate each other like at least a little bit, since we're all going through the same thing, so there's some kind of like unite, like union there. But yeah, still looking for more motivation personally. Yeah.
Yeah, so staying connected with everyone, right? Around you. Yeah. Amin, do you like to add anything?
Yeah, for motivation, I guess maybe like I've been learning a lot of new skills lately. So I've been getting into like gymnastics or like, you know, learning how to do the splits or being able to run for 30 minutes or doing a 5K and things like that. So I think to stay motivated is maybe to have like a bit of a change in your daily schedule or like just a change in your week, just to figure out that, yeah, like not every day is the same, just finding different things to do and just like balancing all of that together. So,
Lakshmi, how about you? Do you need to add anything?
I feel like personally for me, I've noticed that kind of having a routine is very helpful in staying motivated and not, you know, kind of getting dejected by the whole situation. So, you know, whether that's kind of whatever works for you, like whether that's creating, like for me, it's like creating a list, you know, every single day with whatever my tasks are, whether that's like work related stuff or even something really simple, like, you know, like read a book or meditate for 30 minutes. I find that when I create a routine for myself and like a to-do list, I'm like less likely to kind of focus on, you know, feeling or focus on kind of, you know, how terrible the world is right now. So yeah, the routine is very helpful for me.
That's really good. How about Arthur, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I agree with what everyone else has been saying, but I think for me too, maybe at the beginning of quarantine, I really overwhelmed myself and was like, oh, I want to do like these 10 things, these 10 big things, these goals that I want to achieve by the end of the summer. And I got around to none of them. So I think just really understanding that it's just, you know, take a break, relax, go through your daily routine and don't overwhelm yourself. Yeah.
Great advice. Christy, do you need to, like, would you like to add anything? How have you been keeping up, you know, motivating yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really agree with what others have said and like what like Lakshmi said about routine. I felt that was really important. And like during like March to June, July, I had class as well. And I feel like that really got me distracted as well. And I don't know, now shifting to school, I'm like still trying to find that routine. It's been a little hard, but yeah, routines are really important. I remember every like afternoon I'd make iced coffee for myself, but I don't know if that's a good thing. Probably not, because it's too much caffeine. But yeah, something I would always like, I was always like prepared on, I knew like what my days would make up. So yeah.
And how about you, Anna? How have you been keeping yourself motivated?
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi. Sorry, like my internet, I think, just disconnected for a second.
And no worries.
Yeah, okay, we're good. So how I have been keeping myself motivated is by getting more involved in my neighborhood community. And we have a really good online community where everybody talks about things, and we've been organizing little events. And the last one we organized was a virtual pet show, and everybody just posted pictures of their dogs and cats, and we had a parakeet, and that kind of keeps you going. It's just, you know, other people's animals. So that's how I've been doing it. I've been involving myself in community work.
Awesome. Hey, Jordan, I see you're here. Do you want to introduce yourself?
All right, perfect. Hey, my name's Jordan. I'm a third year student at UBC. I'm taking a major in English and computer science. And I intend to do video game design in the future. This is my first time doing anything kind of relating to radio or journalism. So I'm just kind of, you know, in it to try something new, and the Accessibility Collective is, you know, it's pretty interesting to me, just Yeah, I'm just like really interested to try something new pretty much.
Awesome. So it's great to have you on here, and thanks so much. So we're just discussing, you know, pandemic and how things are, how we're doing and how we're staying focused and motivated. So how has the pandemic been for you?
Oh, the pandemic? It's been kind of, you know, a mix of emotions, I'd say. It's, you know, right off the bat, I was pretty spooked about it. I live in Calgary right now, but when I was in Vancouver and then the pandemic started kind of escalating, I ended up driving all the way back home, just kind of like in a more panic state. But I've calmed down a little bit. You know, just been trying to get through school. I've been working a little bit and, you know, I'm trying to, you know, get in a routine that kind of works for me. But, you know, the pandemic's been a big change of pace, I'd say.
Of course, yeah. So, Stephanie, how have you been staying motivated?
Honestly, I have not been doing much. Well, I wasn't going to do much, and I started to get kind of, like, depressed. But then after, with everything that happened with, like, George Floyd, there's been, like, a lot of protesting in my city. So I've been getting pretty involved with that. The youth here are really motivated to talk about, like, Black lives and how they're endangered around the world. There's just been, like, another protest, but I wasn't able to go. It had to do with something that's happening in, like, Nigeria right now. So that's kind of like how I've been staying motivated.
Wow. Okay. Thanks for that. So for me, the motivation is just doing the things that I never actually imagined doing. Like, normally I would be at the station working and all that kind of stuff. But now I'm actually going for walks around the neighborhood. And I never actually really got to do that when I was at the station, because I just didn't have the time to do it. But now I can take time to just relax, go for a walk, then do what I need to do after. And that's actually been really nice. And just staying connected with all my friends through Zoom and Google Meet, that's been very helpful. And now we're doing radio, so this will definitely get me motivated, and I really hope the same goes for all of you. So our next question, what surprising thing have you been stocking up that isn't a toilet paper? So have you guys been stocking up anything? We'll start with Amin.
Maybe food, I guess. Not really toilet paper, or just maybe entertainment, just movies, books, things to keep me busy and interested. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
How about you, Anna?
I actually was like thinking about the whole toilet paper situation, and then I got a subscription on Amazon for that, so I don't have to stock up on that. I've been probably hoarding a little bit of canned food. Like, it's getting a bit out of control, and I'll probably never eat this much tuna ever. So, you know, but now I have it.
That's a good one. Arthi, how about you?
I kind of relate to that too. I hoarded a lot of snacks. I don't know why I thought snacks was going to end first, but I'm literally just finishing my last box of mini Oreos. So I'm almost done.
Oh, well, I love Oreo cookies too. So no comments on that one. But Christy, how about you?
Yeah, like for me, I haven't really been stocking up on anything like specifically, but I found that I'm more like leaning to buy things that would keep me entertained, like getting stuff that has to do with an activity, like looking at Facebook Marketplace for puzzles. Like, I bought ping pong paddles because I think there's some public ping pong tables around Vancouver, and like making, I'm planning on making earrings like with polymer clay. So yeah, just learning new skills and trying to do more hobbies. I feel like I've just been stocking up on those things.
Jesse, how about you?
Hi. Yeah, I'd say like books. That was a thing at the start. Just got really into reading some more nonfiction, but it was like kind of humor, like based, like those graphic novels by like some known comedians. So that was like near the start of like the quarantine period. And I also got into like just playing, I guess, since the puzzles and like games were brought up, like I also started doing a lot of like online escape games with my friends, because that's some that's a hobby of mine I'd like to do like outside preferably, but since that isn't really an option now, I've been playing them with friends online, like we just solve puzzles together. But yeah,
that's cool. Jordan, do you have anything?
Well, I haven't really been stocking up too much stuff per se, but what I've found is that I've been kind of like been trying to keep myself busy to like the most extreme extent. Like I'll just stockpile on kind of like, I don't know, activities, like, I don't know, like video games or like a project from IKEA to make. Yeah, I'd say that's the one thing I'm kind of like, you know, building up just to, you know, so I'm always doing something, distracts myself.
Cool. How about you, Stephanie?
I haven't really been stocking up on much per se, but I've been buying like a lot of hair products and just like leaving them in my room, because I was gonna be like, this year I'm gonna make my own hair products. So I just have like shea butter, like mango butter in my room that I haven't like touched yet. And I've been buying like different like spices and like flowers from like different parts of the world and like spending money. I think I'll force myself to do it next week to make something. But yeah, that's what I've been doing.
That is actually really cool. That's awesome.
Can I ask how you make hair products? Like that sounds pretty cool actually.
Yeah.
Oh, YouTube videos. Like you just like, you can boil like the herbs and then you can like put them in like butter. So that's what I was gonna do. I was gonna get like this thing called like Shea Bay, where it's like, it's from Africa. Oh, okay. And the ladies that like use it, their hair is like to their butts, and I was like, that's gonna be me next year. So you get that and then you kind of like heat it up and then you put it into like the shea butter and then you like mix it and then you have like Shea Bay infused shea butter. So that's what I was gonna do.
That's pretty sick actually.
Yeah, Stephanie, when you make that, can you post a picture or something? We would love to see it.
Oh yeah, definitely. If I make it like properly though.
Yeah, but I'm sure our listeners would love to see that. Lakshmi, do you have anything that you stocked up or did before?
Yeah, I mean, when the pandemic first hit, I think I just kind of bought what most people were scrambling to buy. So just a lot of essentials like canned food, frozen food, like, you know, mostly like food or cleaning supplies, that kind of stuff. But I mean, now that restrictions are kind of, you know, they're eased up a little bit, I'm not really stockpiling anything.
Yeah, so I'm like everybody else too, you know, toilet paper and all that kind of stuff that we really need. Flour, you know, whatever, anything that's baking related, but again, not stocking up as much. So what story, whether that's a book or a movie or an article, a conversation that you've been gripped by recently or in the past 6 months, why did it capture you? So does anybody want to speak on this? Lakshmi, how about you?
Article, movie, or conversation. I mean, you know, I think I would have an answer for you. If 2020 wasn't the year that it is, I feel like I would be able to answer that question. But there's just like, there's so much going on in the world right now, politically and socially. I think I've just been very wrapped up in kind of conversations about just social change. You know, the whole Black Lives Matter movement is kind of resurgence this year. You know, I think that's what's been really kind of keeping me occupied whenever I have conversations with my friends or my family. So yeah, I think that's going to be my answer. Probably just everything that's happening politically, just everything.
Does anybody else like to add anything on that?
I can add something.
Yeah, sure, Anna.
So for me, it wasn't just one conversation that kind of, you know, gripped my attention recently. It was like a series of conversations because me and my neighbors, we have like a little get together, socially distanced, you know, outside thing where we just talk about our lives and we just share. And it's like a support group. And that has been very interesting because before pandemic, like that never happened to me. I never had that kind of community with my neighbors. And this year it happened. So that was kind of interesting.
So that would be more like a positive thing for you. Definitely.
Yeah, it was definitely a positive thing. We have discussed some heavy topics and, you know, some people's opinions, I hopefully, you know, were changed. And yeah, we talk about everything. So that was kind of good.
So anything, anybody else wants to add anything to that question?
Yeah. Can I?
Yeah, for sure.
What Anna was saying is like really awesome seeing communities get together. Like I too like saw more community engagement even with my neighborhood. Like during the pandemic, I downloaded this neighborhood app and I saw people offering like to buy groceries and if like anyone needed to walk their dog. And it was just, yeah, it's just something that's been really cool to see. And all like the mutual aid that's been happening during the pandemic. And yeah, it's just really inspiring.
Thanks, Christy. Yeah, it is very inspiring. I think community is a big part of connecting and networking. So yeah, that's very, very important. So what is something that you miss and don't miss that surprises you? We'll start with Jordan.
I don't know. I kind of miss the culture of just kind of hanging out with friends before. Like, I just feel after the pandemic, it's never really going to be the same. Like, going to a club or even hanging out with, like, going to a party with some friends. Like, following this pandemic, there's always going to be that question. It's like, how many people are there? Like, are they distancing or is anyone sick? Before, that was never really, like, a big deal. It was just kind of a lot more open. And, you know, I'm going to miss that because everything just kind of felt like a little closer, and now it's even like socializing with people feels a little disconnected, and I don't think that's ever going to change. So, you know, I miss that a little bit.
Does anybody else like to add anything?
I can add something.
Sure, Anna.
I really like don't miss handshaking. I was always not into it, and now it's gone, and I'm kind of enjoying it a little bit. So another thing that happened to me during the pandemic is that I played so many video games that I got tendonitis in my hand, carpal tunnel thing, whatever. And yeah, so now I miss playing video games as much as I did before because I can't. So that's what happened.
Anything, anybody else?
Speaking to Jordan's point, I definitely agree. I feel like the entire dynamic of how you interact with your friends or just how you interact socially is so different now. And I didn't realize that when I met my friends, I'm a hugger. And it's just really weird now to have these like social distancing picnics where you can't even like high five them. You can't give your best friends a hug. And that to me is just really weird because I'm a hugger. So that's something I actually really miss a lot.
That's actually a really good point because, yeah, we can't do that now. I think it was Jesse that wanted to ask.
Yeah. I was actually about to chime in with, like, the opposite, which was, like, I don't miss, I agree with, like, Anna's point about the handshaking thing because I'm pretty, like, touch-aversive.
I think I've only hugged my best friend like 12 times in like the 7-8 years we've known each other, because it's just like the way it our dynamic is. But yeah, like I don't miss like having like the uncomfortable conversation of like having to handle like touching other people, despite my whatever my relationship with them is. And I what I miss is like the popular answer of like just being around people. So I guess just like the interaction, but without the touching part. But yeah, that's my take on that. But
Anna, do you need to add anything?
Yeah, I just wanted to second what Jesse was saying. I definitely agree with the point that I'm also not a hugger, so it's a little bit easier when you're like interacting with people, because it's just expected that you just stay away from them, you don't touch them. Or like even when people do that thing, like either like they want to hug you or like they want to do a handshake, and then you're kind of just like in between, like what do I have to do? So that's completely gone, so I'm very happy about that. But obviously miss like interacting with people normally, just going to like a restaurant or any like social gathering and not being worried about like the amount of people that you're around. So yeah.
And anybody else like to add anything?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that. Yeah, hi. I miss like being carefree when going out. I have 2 grandparents at home, so I'm very, very paranoid that I'm gonna bring COVID home somehow. So that's not fun. But then I don't miss like commuting in the morning or like waking up early, putting on jeans and going to class in the rain. I just love that I can just jump out of bed 5 minutes before class in my pajamas and, you know, just go to class.
That's actually a good point. Anna, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to relate to all the non-touch people and also to Artie. Yeah, the whole, you know, no commuting thing is so great. I did not realize how much how much time you spend in commuting and how much, you know, time you can spend on better things to do. And also, yeah, like taking class in your pajamas is the best.
That's a good one. For me, I guess I have to say that, you know, I don't miss that, you know, the like every day you have to do something, or you know, you can have moments where you can just chill and do the things you want to do, like listen to music or watch movies or something like that. It's a little bit more relaxed, so I like that. And then if I want to be busy, I can. So I have more, I guess, control of what I want to do and what I don't want to do. So I love that part, but I, like everybody else, I miss that interaction, connecting with people that I used to work with, or I still work with, but it's not the same. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still think that we're connected in some ways, you know, thanks to social media and doing a radio like this. So that's pretty cool. But Stephanie, do you have anything you like to add to this?
I miss like going to the movies. Like when I was living in like Vancouver for school, I lived near like Burnaby, and there's like Metro Town, and there's like a movie theater in there. So sometimes I would just like go to watch a movie. Like it didn't matter the movie, I would just like go. So I kind of like miss that. What I don't miss, I don't miss going to class. Like going and commuting, like my commute used to be like an hour, and like I don't miss that. Sometimes I stay late and be in the library, and like going home at night, I don't miss that. There'd be like a lot of interesting people on the bus that would just like make commuting even worse. So just like avoiding that has been kind of good, well, actually great for me.
And Christy, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people already talked about as well, like what I miss and what I don't miss. And yeah, I agree with the commuting. I've found that like these past few months, I've been mostly in my neighborhood, and then I do have like friends like nearby UBC, but I feel like now it's just too far for me. So I miss like seeing them, but yeah, it's just the commute. I like to stay where I'm close by.
Awesome. Okay, so thank you. So here is Krista Couture with the song Like Water, Like Earth.
Mother creature in need of comfort, her heart meeting the buried in concrete. Mother, them creatures
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Are you energetic, mature, and committed to making a difference in the life of an Indigenous youth? Then you'd make a great mentor. Volunteer mentors at Vancouver's Urban Native Youth Association help youth recognize their many strengths and words towards future goals. To learn more about how you can become a mentor to a deserving young person, please visit unya.bc.ca/mentorship.
Crimes and Treasons Radio, this is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM.
Yes, yes, you and I rock with the best, 101.9 CITR Radio. Crimes and Treasons, this is your boy Just Blaze. Right now you're rocking with Jules Andre Brown, Rolly Rails, Jamal Steels, and Horsepower. You know what it is, all right?
Yo, it's Iron Sue, man. I want to shout out Crimes and Treasons Radio, man. CITR 101.9, man. Turn up, turn up, turn up.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.5 FM. The song you just heard was Krista Couture with the song Like Water, Like Earth. Another Canadian singer, but an award performer and recording artist, nonfiction writer, and pastor. She's also proudly Indigenous of mixed Cree and Scandinavian descent. She is queer, disabled, and a mom. Over the course of her acclaimed career, Krista became an expert in loss. with singing, speaking, and writing about the childhood cancer that led to the amputation of her left leg, abortion, and the tragic deaths of her two babies. When her fourth album came out in 2016, it was eclectic, upbeat, and twangy with Long Time Leaving, a more run-of-the-mill loss, divorce, and provided inspiration for many people who love her music like we do on All Access Pass.
Yeah, Krista is a very inspiring lady. Thanks so much, Lakshmi. Now let's get back to our discussion on pandemic. This is gonna be interesting. Do you think BC and other parts of the province had reopened things too quickly? We're gonna start with Amin.
I guess for the second wave, at first I was a little bit worried about what the exposure of COVID would be in like common places like restaurants or gyms and things like that. But I think maybe, I don't know, I'm not really exactly sure. They haven't like reopened too quickly. I think they opened at like the time where everybody needed to get back to their daily schedules and things like that. Like even for schools, it's a little bit difficult for younger kids to be online, but I think it was a smart decision in terms of university students to keep everything online. But I don't know, I guess maybe not too quickly. I think it was just right, but as we know, like cases have been going up, but that's just what we have to deal with now.
Anna, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Not really, because I just don't have the expertise to comment on it too much. And how I feel about it, like, I think the measures we had were adequate because BC was pretty good compared to other places. Now, I don't have any kids, so I don't know how people feel about opening schools and all that. And I just kind of try to stay at home most of the time so that I don't have to, you know, think about it too much. So that's kind of my point.
Yeah. How about you, Arthi?
I agree with Amin and Anna, but I think we had, you know, just the right response for what was needed. Maybe a little bit more could be done with the second wave because it's a little bit worrying how, you know, things are still getting worse right now.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Christy, would you like to add anything?
Yeah, like, I'm not sure exactly. I don't know, from the position of like business owners, probably it was good for them, but it's also like really risky. I feel like, and a lot of people who may be at a disadvantage or like marginalized communities could be at more risk because of the reopening. So yeah, I'm just really like cautious about it.
Yeah. How about you, Jesse?
I'd say I agree with what everyone's been saying, and that like it was handled like that, like it was like adequate the way, like, I guess the first wave was handled. But I'm pretty envious of like the position that New Zealand's in by like beating COVID twice, apparently, or at least that's what I've heard. And I think the way the universities like have been like just making everything online, like that was the right decision. As hard as it may like just be for everyone, like all of us in school, and I think like the high schools probably shouldn't have opened like the way they did, because like I just feel like everyone I've talked to has been like, yeah, my high school, like my old high school has had a case, like at least one case of COVID, and it's like, oh, like that's not great. Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Lakshmi?
I definitely agree with what everyone has been saying. I mean, and like Anna said earlier, I don't have the expertise to really kind of, you know, comment on whether it was too early. But a part of me does wonder if if we had more stringent measures kind of enforced during the first wave, a part of me wonders if maybe our numbers wouldn't be as high as they are now. But I mean, overall, I think it's a pretty adequate response, but I do think that perhaps maybe more could have been done during the first wave in terms of making it a more strict lockdown for everyone in BC.
And Stephanie, do you have anything to add?
I'm not too educated on the pandemic, but yeah. I do think that we opened too soon. It seems like they opened because they were more worried about like the economy than like the people, because there are some communities that are gonna get like worse than others due to like them being marginalized, like Christy said. But yeah, it's been interesting because now my brother has to go back to school and he be playing with his mask, and I know him and his friends are probably taking off their mask and putting it, like, I saw him putting it in like the snow here in Calgary. So I don't think they really did the correct thing, but I don't know. There's been a lot of like pushback. Like I just saw like an anti-mask protest on like Instagram in Toronto. So I don't know. I feel like the government is trying what they can.
For me, I think it's been largely like, okay, if we don't open now, then when do we open? So it's like, you can do it a little bit, but not overdo it. So I guess, you know, I think BC's been doing well enough, and all other provinces, they know what they're doing, I guess. So, you know, yeah, we just have to do what our, like, our do our part and wish for the best, really. So that's all I can say for that one. Do you think that there's enough information on COVID-19, and especially when it comes to the safety concerns around people with disabilities? Anna, let's get your thoughts.
Wow, that was soon. I was just gathering my thoughts, but I don't think there was quite enough actually information specifically targeting, you know, different people with disabilities. But then again, it's a new thing, so there's very little information. Like there was, especially in the beginning, as to what to recommend and stuff. And I think they kind of tried to cover as much ground as possible, and they did a good job, you know, educating the public about what to do and how to behave in the situation. But definitely we can do more about, you know, soothing the concerns of people with disabilities, because like it's so diverse and so different for everybody. So I don't know. That's about it.
Does anybody else like to add anything to this question?
Yeah, I agree with Anna, actually, and I feel like there wasn't enough information regarding the safety concerns for people with disabilities. Yeah. If anything, I saw things on social media that made me become more aware of the safety concerns, like how people will press like elevator buttons and like the buttons to cross the street with their shoes instead of like their elbows or something, and then people with disabilities, they can't always do that, so then they have to touch it with their hands, and that I know it could also, you know, cause some like infection spread or something.
That's a good point. Lakshmi, do you want to add anything?
In terms of just like COVID-19 alone, just as a standalone, I feel like there was kind of an overload of information, but specifically with regards to, you know, people with accessibility issues, I think that unless you make an effort to actually look it up, I don't think that there's much reporting being done on that matter. And I mean, even when the pandemic first started, I remember within maybe 2 or 3 months, I remember seeing a lot of signs at grocery stores and even one near my house where they had a little note up for elderly people saying that, you know, if you want flour or rice, you can just ask one of our staff members and we'll be happy to assist you. So they kind of had certain produce that they kept in the back specifically for people who might not be able to kind of, you know, rush out and get it. And I don't think I saw the same thing for people with accessibility issues. And that could have just been my experience. But yeah, I definitely think more could have been done to educate people about how they can kind of, you know, be a better member of the community and help everyone out, especially people with issues.
I actually agree with you, Lexi, and that's what I like to add. Anna, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking about it right now, and like I can't remember an instance actually where people with disabilities were specifically addressed, you know, at any point, really. So I don't know, it might have been just my thing that I missed it completely, but like I don't think anything really has been like really targeting our community much.
Anybody else that likes to add anything?
Well, I agree with like what everybody said. I didn't see any like information for people with accessibility issues. They could have done, well, they should have done better to include everyone that is not able to like rush out to the stores and get something, or is not able to like touch like the crosswalk machines like with their feet, like someone said previously.
Yeah. Okay, so time is almost running out. So just a last advice or message for our listeners who are dealing with the same thing we are doing. Does anybody have any last message for our listeners? Stephanie, let's go with you first.
Oh, any last messages?
Yeah.
Any
advice?
Advice?
Yeah.
Oh. You should like keep yourself busy any way you can. Even though like it's a pandemic and it's like worldwide and it is scary. Try to find stuff that makes you happy. If you're in school, I'm sorry. if you're in school, don't let like school be your be all end all. Don't let like your schedule control you. You're in charge of your own schedule. So always like make time for stuff that makes you happy. That's what my advice is.
I love that advice. Thanks, Stephanie. How about you, Emin?
Yeah, I totally agree with Stephanie there. Just keep yourself busy. Just learn new skills. Do what you wanted to that you haven't had time for before, and just try to stay positive.
Anna, would you like to add anything?
I agree with everybody else, you know, like, what can you do? Just try to stay positive about it, and maybe try to involve yourself in your own community too a little bit, even if it is virtual, because it does help to know that there are other people around you and they're very close, so that if something does happen, you know, you have somebody to rely on.
Okay, and Lakshmi, do you have anything to say?
I don't have advice necessarily, or, you know, maybe what I'm about to say could be interpreted as advice, but
yeah.
I just wanted to kind of give a shout out to like all the international students specifically during this time. You know, not all of us have the luxury of having our families in the city. So international students specifically who have families, you know, across the continent, like I just want to stress the importance of, you know, staying connected with friends and your parents and your family through Zoom, like practicing self-care, make sure you exercise, even if it's just indoors, make sure you meditate, you know, make sure you try to stay positive, because it's definitely not easy when you're not from the city, when your family is like thousands of miles away.
Jordan, do you want to add anything?
I just want to add like what most people said, just to kind of keep yourself busy. It's a pretty stressful time like right now. So the best way to kind of not think about all the bad parts is just to kind of, you know, do something that makes you happy, do something that keeps you occupied. And yeah, most of us are in school, I believe. I'm not 100% sure. It's school's a little tough right now, but, you know, trust me, everything will get better as well. So, you know, stay optimistic and stay busy. That's all I got to say, pretty much.
Well said. Anybody else that likes to add anything?
Also, wanted to like emphasize that it's okay to take a rest and take a break. I know like being online with school and having like a lot of assignments be online as well. Like I feel like Zoom fatigue is very common. So I really like napping before or in between classes, and yeah, just laying down, listening to a podcast or like a radio station. Yeah, it's really fun.
Been the perfect plug for All Access Pass.
Okay, exactly. Listen to us. And I guess for me, like I like to add, you know, it's okay to be frustrated, have full of emotions, because that's natural. And it's okay to cry or vent out or anything. But also do the things that you love to do, like read, listen to music, go for a walk, watch movies, but then also stay focused, you know, doing writing, the hobbies that you love to do, like gardening or whatever. So, you know, it's okay to do a little bit of both, everything. So don't feel like you have to hide your emotions, because, you know, the more you do it, the more it's going to build in, and that's not going to be good at the end. So just take one day at a time. So that wraps up for today's episode. I hope everyone enjoyed it. If you are interested in joining our team or think that there's an issue we should bring up on our show, please send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
And please like our All Access Pass Facebook page.
If you are on Twitter or Instagram, please follow us at @access_CITR.
If you missed part of our live show today and want to listen again, or maybe you want to listen to our past shows, you can do so on CITR.ca by going on the search box and typing in All Access Pass.
Thank you for listening. Stick around for more CITR programming coming up next. Bye, everyone.
Bye.